Among the bishops attending the 13th Ordinary Assembly of the Synod of Bishops on the New Evangelization is the Bishop of Sale, Australia, Christopher Prowse. He spoke to Philippa Hitchin.
Bishop Christopher Prowse, you gave an interesting presentation talking about the need for a stronger focus on initial proclamation. Now, to many people, they won't know what that is. Can you explain exactly what you're talking about and what you were asking the Synod for?
Well, I've been asking the Synod for the possibility of us focusing a lot more on this initial evangelization, initial proclamation of the Lord Jesus. It's in theology, we often use the word kerygma, or the presentation, the initial presentation of Christ, his life, death, his resurrection, and that this through faith and through repentance leads to a conversion and possibly to baptism. And then, of course, the church gathers around the newly baptized for the catechesis, the formation, the bringing into the community. But it's that initial one that I think is something new. Hence, we need a new evangelization in today's world. All sorts of reasons. There's the sociological context, the idea that mother and father would automatically pass on the faith to their children, who would then pass it on to their children. That sociological link from grandparent to parent to child, but I think in parts of the world is damaged badly, and in some parts of the world it's non-existent. For other parts of the world, it shines triumphantly.
How would you describe the situation in Australia today?
I would think it'd be naive to think that because mum and dad are strong Catholics that the child will become, and it's not because of any sort of neglect necessarily, perhaps the child had the best possible Catholic education, but clearly the generations today are very much influenced by what's happening in the social media. And we can use all the isms, the secularisms, the relativism, the consumerisms, and so on. But there seems to be something new in this context today that is more potent, more poisonous for the faith. And it seems almost fashionable in parts of the world, possibly Australia too, to sort of say, well, I really don't need God. I'm going very well, thank you very much. But if you need it, all the best to you. But please don't get involved too much in my life. It's a personal thing, my relationship to God or my lack of relationship to God.
In that context, it's very difficult, isn't it, to find the right words, the right way to present the church's message.
Correct, and we can often use theological words which perhaps even further alienate people who are alienated. But it's brought out in the Synod a lot, and I've learnt a lot the last week and a half about how the message of Christ is brought over through non-verbal means, not just verbal means. I'm thinking of some of the wonderful inputs that have been there from bishops and talked about icons, beauty in art, beauty in music, beauty in websites. The beauty of contemplation and silence and seeing this as an opportunity of encounter. I suppose of all the words that I've heard the last week and a half, the word encounter is the word that comes through left, right and centre. And also the word family, that it's in the womb of the family that this can happen in such a remarkable way. So we are in a sociologically different context, I think, that even a few years ago, I thought it was really just in the developed world, but hearing people from all around the world, I'd say it's a universal phenomenon. That's something that I've learned.
Are there any particular examples that you can bring us from your own diocese, from Australia, about the ways in which you are successfully engaging people, young people in particular, beyond these difficulties that you're talking about?
Many ways, but one way as a bishop that I've found, particularly in the last year and a half, is through what we call the RCIA, the catechumenate. Just an example would be that I remember calling at the rite of election all those to be baptized Catholics or confirmed into the Catholic Church over Easter to come to me in my cathedral. And I asked them to come early. I said, I want to listen to you. And I asked them the same question, what attracted you to the Catholic Church? And the answers were phenomenal. I mean, it was simple things, something like, well, I was invited. Or I passed the church every day on the way to work and there was a big sign out the front, have you ever thought of becoming a Catholic, with a telephone number. I was just so grateful that the lady, when she did make the phone call, there was somebody at the end of the phone and not a machine. So, I mean, the things like this. Also, people saying that through the internet they've been reading what the Catholic teaching is, and one of them, he became a Catholic because he was fascinated with the Catholic Church's teaching on the Eucharist. Also, a wonderful way, a couple, the woman a Catholic, and the husband, a Hindu, he wanted to become a Catholic because he could see in his wife the way she handled the suffering in their marriage life and in their family life, the way she handled it differently from him, and that she was always hopeful, prayerful, even joyful in the suffering, whereas he was despairing, and he was saying, I want that. I haven't had that. So that whatever the faith you have, please share it with me. So these are great examples.
That interfaith context you're talking of is increasingly common in Australia today, isn't it?
Most certainly. The interfaith dialogue, particularly in the big cities, is enormous. And some of the new evangelizers in the Catholic Church are new migrants coming to Australia from Catholic parts of the world. I'm thinking of the Indians and Sri Lankans, where being a Catholic is a minority group, and they come to Australia where Christianity is a majority group. And they find us a bit low-key. And they're more than happy to sort of say, well, you know, why not this way, that way, and why do you have you thought about this? So they're emerging as a new evangelizing group, and I'm so happy that it's happening.
You're also very involved in interfaith work as a whole, aren't you, particularly with the Islamic communities?
Yes, I am, and continue to be. So I have some wonderful friends, Muslim friends and other religions, and also the tribals, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders people. And I, just before coming to Rome, I was at a national conference of the Catholic Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders Commission in Melbourne, and some of the wonderful people there have very, very little, their literacy levels are low, but just their faith is so, so deep. And through artwork and through just listening and just having a more cosmological understanding of life, the stars, the planets, the respect, and not using that in a sort of a green way. It's just part of God's giftedness, and see, God is everywhere, and they can see that Christ Jesus is the center point of the great giftedness of creation. These things are not spoken in an articulate way, but are spoken in a non-verbal way, which is most penetrating to the human spirit.